Ye old record button.
Yeah, what's up, man?
What's going on, brother?
Not much. We're Richless set again, I suppose. Unless he decides to hop on, but it's okay. We'll sort of ask some stuff. We do have a couple of video gaming notes that we want to chit chat about, and we're going to talk about the weather. Isn't that crazy?
We're going to talk about the weather. We're going to talk about some. We're going to talk about Florida. This is going to be. It's going to be a lot of Florida in this episode because shit is kicking off down here. But first and foremost, before anything else, I want to give a shout out to Megan and Logan, my son and daughter, for listening. Not in that order, you know. Not really my son and daughter, but might as well be. Used to work with them at Polo, and they're awesome. And I just found out that they've been listening, going back and listening to old episodes. So, hey, what's up, kids?
Yeah, what's going on?
So anyway, let's jump right in with both feet here. So what was it? I don't even know what day it is today. Today's Thursday. So I think it was Tuesday. There was a bank robbery in Fort Myers. And dude has a violent past, probably needed a little bit of mental health counseling before he got to this point, but you know, Florida's like 50th in the nation in mental health facilities, so clearly he didn't get the help that he needed. And he went into a Bank of America. He yelled that he had a bomb. He didn't try and keep any hostages except for two employees. Apparently one guy was coming out of the elevator as he ran in and was saying he had a bomb, so he quick hit the elevator door close button and went back up.
He's like, nope, not today.
They talked to him in the newspaper. So, you know, but he said he had a bomb, and he grabbed some woman in a headlock and held a knife to her neck, and eventually the SWAT team sniper got him, and everybody else made it out with no injuries. I don't think he actually had a bomb on him. I think he was just having a psychotic break and either A, wanted to commit suicide by cop, or just, you know, who knows? Unfortunately, right. We'll never get the chance to ask him. But at the same time, look, man, they did exactly what they needed to do. They took him out. They kept everybody safe. So kudos to, and I don't normally like to applaud LCSO because they're kind of shady. But hey, good job, LCSO. You guys did an awesome job. Keeping everybody safe. So, you know, great job.
Yeah. No, and it made national news. I saw a couple articles kick through on it and was like, dang, that's crazy. But no, that was a complete agreement. Like, obviously the dude was not right in the head. And, but that doesn't really matter in a circumstance like that. You can't just pretend that, well, he knows what's going on.
Right.
You know, because you really don't, you know, and that the whole goal is to make sure that everyone else is protected.
Exactly. So, exactly.
I mean, that's the, yeah. So yeah. Nope. I agree.
So I mean, and that kicked off what was kind of a ridiculous day down here. At least, you know, that wasn't in my jurisdiction, but next city over. But dude, we holy shit! I don't know if it's. I can't even say it's the sun. Because it hasn't really been hot down here, so it's not like people's brains are getting baked anymore. Like, it's not summer. We had a crazy night on Tuesday night. We had somebody out in traffic, like, running up and trying to fight cars and then pulling his dick out and peeing on them and, like, just going nuts in the street. We had
this person named Conker.
No.
Sorry.
He's gonna keep his name private, even though it's. I mean, you can do a records request and find out exactly who it was. But, I'm not gonna say it because, you know, even though I'm trying to find a new job, I don't want to get fired from my
company. No.
Yet. I'm gonna listen. I've got plans for that. Anyway, we got a call from somebody who said that his neighbor had put up a pool cage, like his neighbor put up a pool cage around, which is very common down here. You know, everybody has these like back patios, they call them lanais, and they've got like pool cages around them, and they've got like a barbecue set up and stuff and pools typically. Well, this guy said, hey, my neighbor's put up a pool cage and and now they have aliens in their pool cage and in their house, and they're keeping them there. And, you know, seeing as our area is where it is, and we have the issues that we have, aliens could be taken one of two ways. And so my immediate question is, well, what kind of aliens? And he wasn't talking about aliens of the illegal type. He was talking about like ET aliens, like UFO aliens. This guy thought that, you know, these people, now they had their cage, so now they could just put aliens in it and the aliens wouldn't escape. You know, they wouldn't use their alien death rays to break out or anything like that. So yeah, that was a call we got. And then probably the most batshit insane call, and I swear, I'm sitting next to the person who's on the phone with the people at this call, and I just, every couple minutes, I hear something different. Like, I hear something else, and I'm like, I look at them, and I'm like, wait, are you fucking with me right now, or is this actually happening? And sure as shit, this was actually happening. So the call starts off, and it's just a domestic disturbance, you know. And I shouldn't say just a domestic disturbance, because, you know, it's bad. You know, any kind you know, domestic incident is bad. So domestic disturbance, the guys there, they're separated. It's an ex-boyfriend banging on his ex-girlfriend's door. And it's the ex-girlfriend's son who's on the phone. And they're all adults at this point. Like, the, you know, I can't give like extreme detail, because I've got to keep some anonymity to this. Anonymity, not anonymity. So dude is trying to bang on the door and trying to get in, and he can't. So then he gets in his Dodge Ram, which you'll find out was ironic in a second here, and proceeds to ram his Ram into the car that's in the driveway. And then he backs up, and he does it several more times. So we think, okay, that's really bad. We need to get people there, like, ASAP. Oh, it gets worse, my friend. So then he proceeds to take his Dodge Ram, which he had rammed into the other car, and decides to make it a house Ram, and rams it into the house. The garage, more specifically. And he does this a couple times, and then he gets into the garage. Like, he knocked down the door, obviously, but then he kind of backs up and hits it a couple more times and gets in further into the house. And you would think, all right, clearly the guy's done at this point. He's not going to try and cause any more havoc, right? No. Then the guy gets out, grabs a gas can, proceeds to start dousing shit in gas, and tries to light it on fire.
Holy crap.
Which at this point, he failed. But I'm hearing this all, I'm sitting there next to the call taker, and the call, like, he's doing what? He's setting it on fire? Like, first I hear, wait, what did he hit with he hit your mother's car with his truck? Wait, what is he doing? Wait, he ran the car into the house? Wait, he's trying to set it on fire? It just gets, like, I kept on wait, he's pulling out a chainsaw? He's attacking small children?
Like, and now a hand grenade?
I kept on hearing stuff, and I'm like, no, get the fuck out. This is not real. She's doing this because she had a trainee with her. I'm like, no, she's doing this just to fuck with the trainee. This is not really happening. But as shit, man, it kept happening, and it kept getting more crazy. And it was just like, I don't know how it escalated at this point, aside from the guy was batshit insane.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, would think after the first couple of, you know, hey, you know what, I'm gonna cause some damage with my vehicle, that, you know, you might stop, you know.
Maybe. But
you know, and then he just, I don't know, it just reminds me of the movie Dirty Work, where they get in the fight, or they're putting fish all over the house.
Yeah.
And it's like, what are you wearing, a wire? And so the gangsters start fighting each other, and that's when it's like, pulls out a chainsaw?
Yeah.
Now he's got a hand grenade. That's what that reminded me of.
Well, dude, and that's what it, that's exactly what it sounded like. I'm sitting there and I'm like, in disbelief at what I'm hearing. I'm like, no, no fucking way. This is bullshit. But no, man, this is my reality. This is what happens in Cape Coral on a daily basis.
He took away my chainsaw and now he's using it on me.
Right. Well, dude, all right. So you laugh at that. We had a guy one night, he got smashed in a club, gets into a fight, goes out to get a gun out of his car. They took the gun from him and shot him with his own fucking gun.
Oh, wow.
Like, how drunk are you?
Yeah.
First of all, how stupid are you to get a gun over a bar fight? Second of all, to get shot with your own gun, I feel like you deserve it. If
you asked for that one about.
Right. Exactly. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, speaking of stupid ass stories that we have out of this area, we've got one out of Fort Myers Beach as well. And I don't remember, did I send you anything about this one? The guy with the Jeep with the bumper stickers all over it and the decals all over it that say the locals hate you.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit. Yeah, but yeah, go for it, because I don't think we have this on the pod. So,
all right. So I'm not a huge fan of Season, which Season, for those of you who don't know, is like tourist season. But I also realized that where I live is hugely reliant on these tourists. When I worked in retail, especially, it was hugely reliant on tourists, because when the tourists weren't here, the money wasn't here.
Right.
You know? And so, yeah, it would get annoying. And the joke is always, well, if it's called if it's called snowbird season, why can't we shoot them? Like, that's the joke that everybody makes. And I laughed at it. You know, it's funny. It's a funny joke, but it's legitimately annoying to have them here because traffic gets awful. You can't go anywhere. You can't do anything because there's just shit tons of people everywhere. And it's gotten worse since the hurricane and everything, because everything was closed and people still came here. So the places that were still open were just completely flooded with people. And like, you can't, flights become ridiculous. I mean, flights were already ridiculous, but they become more ridiculous. It's just a mess. But this guy has gone and apparently started some kind of war, for lack of better terms, Fort Myers Beach. You know, there's, again, Fort Myers Beach got destroyed during Hurricane Ian. And so there's not much. They're rebuilding, but it's taking a long time. And this dude is driving around Fort Myers Beach with a blue Jeep with a large sticker along the front reading "The locals hate you." He has it on the back too. And so the city is actually getting pissed off, and it's become like a big conversation. And people are like, you know, people are on both ends of it. So this one lady says the tourist activity is what's bringing in the funding to rebuild this area and make it what it once was. And then you have people saying, I don't care. It's kind of odd. We're not here to do anything but enjoy the beach, the shops, and vacation. And then you have other people that are saying, I think it's funny. I have one too. You know, nobody really hates people coming here. Just give us a break.
Yeah. And
he said that, and that guy basically just said part of the reason he got it is because he keeps hearing from people complaining, saying that the beach looks like a war zone. And his response was, no kidding, we just had a Category 5 hurricane. And that's a valid, his point on that is valid. Like I said, man, we got destroyed. It's going to take years before we completely recover. God forbid, hopefully we don't have another one. Because the way that they're coming, you know, the Gulf is the hottest it's ever been.
Right.
And that just serves to speed up hurricanes, to make them stronger, to make the winds faster. It's just going I really hope that I'm wrong, but I can just see it until the Gulf cools off. I can see it just continuing to accelerate and accelerate, and storm season is going to get worse and worse. Luckily, this past season, this last hurricane season, we didn't see anything too major. But we're also getting to the point down here where parts of Cape Coral are sinking, like legitimately sinking, because they're building so much and they're pumping out of the aquifer. So they've actually figured out that in the last like 5 years, it's gone down an inch in some places, which doesn't seem like a lot. But when you're building and you've got a low water table as it is, and then you have torrential downpours come through, and then you're flooding. We had a storm not too long ago that came through, and it wasn't anything worse than anything we'll see during hurricane season. Cars were flooded out everywhere. Cape Coral was completely, you could not drive in Cape Coral unless you had a truck that was lifted like a good 3 feet.
Right.
There was tons of water.
And you'll get those around. We get them too. We had a spell in July where we had about 8 inches of rain through some very violent thunderstorms in the spell of maybe 12 hours. It was bad. It was like for us, it was really, really bad. But the whole time it was just like, we've had spells like that before where it's rained a lot. And, you know, and there was areas that were worse, but it's just rain. You know what I mean? This right. was like coupled with very violent, like worst I can imagine. Almost seemed like it was outer space type of thunderstorms. But no, to go back to your point though, and talking about the violent storms, you shared with me an article. It was an NPR article, and it had to do with looking at adding another category level to the hurricanes, which are right now ranked basically for is it 1 through 5 or 0 through 5?
It's 1 through 5.
1 through 5. Okay.
Yeah, zero would be a tropical storm.
Tropical storm, that's right. So and that's, you know, there was talk about that. So I'm curious to see what your thought is on that. And then I reached out to an expert to see what his thoughts were. So I'm going to share his, and I'll share my opinion too. So
yeah, absolutely. So I mean, look, here's the deal: the storms are getting stronger, and it's not. I'm of two minds of it on this. So part of me says, look, I mean, once you get a category 5, that should be sufficient to make people understand, like, yo, this shit's serious. You need to get your stuff, get out. That said, if you've got a situation where the difference between category 1 and 2 is this scale, and it scales up from there, and they're going over what the scale would be for a next category, then you should add it. And that's what I'm hearing, is that there's been some storms in the Pacific, I think like 5 or 6 storms in the Pacific, that if there were a category 6, they would have been category 6. Mm-hmm. And so my mindset on that is like, okay, well, if there's a scientific backing to it, if there's an actual genuine reason, and it's not just like, listen, people are stupid and we need to scare them into being afraid of these storms, because then you're going to desensitize people to, oh, it's just a category 5, that's not even the strongest. Because that's how, because honest to God, any storm can be dangerous. Any hurricane, right, obviously, right, can be dangerous. The way it goes in Florida is no one gets worried unless it's a Cat 5. Ian, the one that hit us last, it was arguably a Cat 5, but technically, if you go strictly according to the scale, it was a Category 4.
Right.
And it completely decimated this area for months, and we're still not recovered. Like I said from the last story, we're still not recovered, and I don't know when we will be.
Go ahead.
But like, you've got people, and as much as I love to trash Florida, these people weren't Floridians, at least not. And I know I've heard Floridians say this, but like, these people they talked to for this article were from, I think, the Bahamas or something like that. And they were saying, well, the last Category 5 that hit us, I don't think we were adequately warned for how strong and how deadly the storm was. It was a fucking Category 5. How were you not adequately warned?
Exactly.
By a fucking Category 5. So.
Yeah. But no, so you shared that with me and I read through it, and you know, I certainly saw that same thing. I saw it both ways. But I had a friend of mine who recently, within the last several years anyway, graduated with a meteorology degree, and was like, you know what, I'm going to reach out to him. So I sent him the link, and the first thing he said, can I call you? I was like, okay, this is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
And so he basically framed it this way to me. Said that, you know, he could see it eventually being changed like the tornado scale, where he went from Fujita to Enhanced Fujita. And it was to more closely align it with the damage related from the storm, from the tornadoes. And it made a lot of sense. He said, in his mind, it would be best to leave it alone to 1 to 5, because a couple things could potentially happen. You'd have to like recategorize things in the past. Or he said the best, the thing that he heard about it was like a, what he called the blender analogy. He said the highest setting on a blender is liquefy. He said, in a storm, whether it's tornado, earthquake, whatever, he's like, or excuse me, tornado or hurricane. He said, once it hits a certain point, like, and you know this, it's like 200 miles an hour is 300 miles an hour. He's like, there are no buildings that are meant to sustain that. He's like, right. It's liquefied. So it doesn't matter at that point. He's right. Like, it's like the top setting, and that's all it is. And it's like, that makes a lot of sense. So he said he thought it would be more akin to a revamping, more like the Enhanced Fujita scale, comparatively. He said he thought that that might make a little more sense. But he did. He said the same thing. He said he saw it both ways. He understood the part where it's like, well, you know, maybe it should be, you know, to kind of about what you said, like, you know, maybe get people's, you know, interest level higher. Like, hey, this is really, really bad. But then, you know, talking about it with him, it was like, you know what, that kind of makes sense. It's like, you already have a liquefy setting there. It's like, people should be scared enough of that.
Right.
You know, and, but they're not, you know, for whatever reason. I don't know what that is, but.
Dude, and to your point, like, and that was a good analogy. And it leads me into something that we faced during Ian. Like you said, once you get to a certain point, no buildings are going to stand up to that. The police department is supposed to be able to stand up to a Category 5 storm. I'm here to tell you right now, that building will not withstand another Category 5.
Yeah.
Having been in it, the first category, I think it was a Category 4 or Category 3 that it faced, which was Irma, blew out windows. They reinforced it this time, or after that. This past time that we were in there, The windows were visibly bowing. You could see them coming in. You could feel the building rattle. Doors were blowing open and just shit was, and water was just flying in the building. We had to use bike locks on doors at one point. And I'm telling you right now, if we ever get another hurricane like Ian, while that building is still constructed as it currently is, that building is going to lose a roof. The building is going to lose windows. It is not going to withstand the entirety of the storm.
No, and once you have structural things like that, other things start to fail.
Right.
And it actually reminded me of something somebody told me one time. This was years and years and years ago, and the person had gotten a violation for excessive noise, you know, stereo system out of a car. And it was really funny to me because he had made the point of saying that it was heard through a supposedly soundproof police vehicle, whatever. But his thing was, it's just a vehicle that has stickers on it, which for the most part, especially 20 years ago, was pretty accurate. I mean, it was not a wrong statement. At a certain point, in the same sense, like, you can design things that can withstand certain things, but at the end of the day, like, that building, yeah, it might have extra, you know, the police building might have extra things that might let it withstand certain things, but it just has a couple of extra stickers on it to help out. You know, it's, you get a violent enough storm, it doesn't matter.
Right.
It's gone. Right. I mean,
and look, when you get shot, when you're wearing a bulletproof vest, the integrity of that bulletproof vest is degraded. It's no longer bulletproof because you've gotten shot. It's been damaged. You can't repair that. There's parts of that building that you can't repair, that have now been vibrated, that have now been shaken, that have now been assaulted by the hurricane. Those parts have not been fixed. They've not been replaced. They're now weakened. They're weaker than they were. So yes, the first storm that comes through, absolutely. Okay, cool. You hit, and it's kind of like, did you ever see that diagram of the planes that would come back from bombing runs in World War II?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So this, they would say, the engineers would look at it and they'd say, all right, so where do we need to reinforce? And they would look at the places where the bullet holes were, and they would say, oh, we need to, no, you don't repair where the damage happened on the planes that came back. You look at where they failed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at a building and you're looking at one that went through it and they fixed what failed. What they haven't done is go back and look at the things that were still there to see if any of that area suffered.
Right.
And you've got to fix that stuff. You've got to make sure that that's maintained and that that's still holding strong, because, dude, honestly, I'm telling you that, and I hope, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just some jackass talking on a bullshit podcast only, you know, and I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. That's very possible. But I really hope that that's the case, because I don't want to see anybody get hurt, because the city still believes that that building is hurricane proof.
And I think, you know, whether or not they add a category, or I think the concept of making an enhanced scale might be sufficient, or at least along the lines of what they did with tornadoes. And it made sense, because like there's some differences there, because I think, to me, like tornado, hurricane, and earthquake, these things, to me, those scales should kind of match, even though the disasters are different, because really the only true thing that you can match up is building structure damage. Like, that's it. Like, it's structural damage. It's about the only thing that you have that's equal in all that, because you do get structural damage in all of them.
Right.
So I think there should be some kind of, it's going to be different, because obviously the storms are different. I mean, that's, but you know, the other thing he said to me, and he went and referenced Hurricane Michael that ran through the panhandle there in 2018. And, you know, he said that it basically had the same force as an EF5 tornado for a swath of about 10 miles. And he said it didn't matter if that was a Category 5 or if they made it a Category 6, the damage would have been exactly the same.
Right.
You know, and it's like, yeah, that you're right. I mean, that's it. It was, you're at the top end of your scale. So it doesn't matter what they do. It's just going to be a matter of making sure they, and I kind of said this too. It's like, it's a matter of almost enforcing the law that's already there. You know, I always put it akin to, well, you have all these laws now with people driving with cell phones and whatever. And it's like, the law's been on the books for years before cell phones even existed. It was called inattentive driving. It's not hard. Just use the law that's already there, you know. But I see the other side of it too, where it's like, you do kind of have to wake people up at times and be like, well, we're going to just call it something else, make something else different to maybe draw attention to it, which might be the ultimate, like, maybe there's a rationale as to why we go for a 6 or whatever we decide to do.
Well, see, and therein lies the rub. So here's the deal. Remember back when people were like, I guess it was in the early 2010s, where we were getting all this severe winter weather. And they were just like, oh, it's a nor'easter coming through, whatever. It's a blizzard, it's whatever. And then they started naming the winter storms.
Yeah, right? It was weird. Yeah, strange. Which
at first I thought was really weird. But then I was like, well, you know what? That's like the equivalent of hurricanes. But here's what I'm wondering. What if we stopped naming them like normal names? What if we started naming them like fucked up names? or like... I'm just thinking of anything that we could do to make people
just something draw attention to it.
Right. So like, even if, and this is going to sound really fucking stupid, but maybe it's another way we go. So like, have you ever seen Pacific Rim?
No, I know exactly what movie you're talking about though. I've never seen it.
So they have these kaijus, and maybe I'm mixing up Pacific Rim and One Punch Man, which is an anime, but they call them like demon level threats or dragon level threats or like, you know, annihilation level threats, stuff like that. Maybe we just need to start going by that and being like, this is a god tier fucking hurricane. It's going to kill you and everyone you love unless you get the fuck out.
Right. Yeah, maybe. It's fine. You know, they should probably do that for the really bad stuff to finally, you know, get your attention on it. Like, you need to evacuate, you need to get out, like you really need to, like, and whatever they're going to do with it. The other side of it though is you run into dumb stuff now where it's like everything is bad and it's like, that's not right. Like, just because it's, you know, a couple degrees higher here, a couple degrees colder there, and it's like, no, we need to focus on like the really bad stuff that happens. And like, that's because once you start like overdoing it, that's when you really lose people. Cause it's like, oh yeah, well, yeah, it's an extra degree or two warmer here today than it was supposed to be. Oh, that's a violent red shade that we need to throw down on the map. It's like, no, like you're losing people's attentions because by and large, people are pretty like, you know, in tune with, if I see red, very bad. If I see green, it's good.
Right.
And if you overemphasize that, especially with the weather, over and over and over again, people are going to become desensitized, like you said. You know, so like, we really need to focus on more of the bad stuff and kind of let the everyday stuff just like, look, leave it alone. Hey, you know what? I'm glad I got a 60 degree couple days here in February. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, whatever, I'll take it. But don't act like it's the end of the world. Like, act like it's ending the world when we're getting like these nasty tornadoes here.
Right.
We do.
Well, and that's like, because I remember back in like 2002, it was like winter 2001, 2002, wearing shorts in January, like to walk to class and shit. And nobody was like, oh, it's the end of the world. We at least need to get that back. But as far as with these storms and shit, you know what the biggest problem is? The longer you live somewhere, the longer you're just like, or the more likely you are to just be like, fuck it.
Yep, just another one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, I would never move to California for multitude of reasons, but one of the biggest is I'm scared shitless of earthquakes, right? But there's people, like, my aunt and uncle live there, and there's mudslides and fucking hurricanes and or not hurricanes wildfires and earthquakes and shit. I'm like, oh, are you guys okay? Anytime I hear about it, oh yeah, it was nothing, it was a little
yeah, like, crazy.
Fuck that, the fucking earth is shook. I was laying in bed and I fell out. No, fuck that.
And what's always been the thing that we, and basically since we were kids, they always said that there was gonna be an earthquake violent enough that part of California would fall off,
right?
You know, which whatever, you know, we can, that's a whole nother thing. But it's like, you know, who knows? Maybe it would. I don't know.
Yeah, but you know what? They also told us that fucking quicksand was going to be a major issue, and that was a whole load of bullshit.
Yeah. Did you ever watch the Mythbusters on that episode? Or, yeah, the Mythbusters episode on that?
I think I did, but I don't.
It's really good because they're like, pretty much that was the conclusion. It's like, yeah, you can't really, unless you're like, you're giving up on life.
Like, because if you stop moving, you eventually stop sinking, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you can kind of like
find your way out of it.
Back
yeah.
up.
Yeah. Right? It's not. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. But let's move on. We got a couple gaming notes here to finish off with.
So supposedly not only are we getting the Xbox business thing next week, which, dude, I think people are just losing their fucking minds at this point. Like, I've seen so many different articles about this recently where people are saying they're getting out of the hardware business, they're staying in the hardware business, they're going to become third party, they're going to become multi-platform. Every game is going third party. They are releasing new next gen hardware, and they're going to do it soon. Like, I've seen everything from they're going to focus on making mobile games to the next generation is going to be like, they're going to have like the Xbox Series X level machine for your house, or they're going to make a Switch like device as like their base tier system. So who the fuck knows? All we can say for certain is, number one, they are going to have some games going multi-platform. Number two, there will be this business thing next week that will probably tell us that they're releasing the refresh of the Series X and the Series S. And I really don't think they're going to get... They'll talk about the multi-platform games, right? There's also going to be a Nintendo Direct, supposedly, on the 15th. So we'll see what that turns out to be. I have no idea. Like, I've seen, again, that's another thing where they're saying it could be a partner direct, it could be a mini direct, it could be a full-blown Nintendo Direct where they announce the next-gen games or next-gen system. They could talk about Metroid Prime 4. They could do this, they could do that. Nobody fucking knows. They just know something's happening next week.
Right.
But I want to pick your brain on what Microsoft titles you would like to see as a PS5 owner. What would you like to see enter your realm of play?
And some of these we hit on already in previous pods. And, you know, obviously Starfield up front for me, the fact that it's the newest exclusive that I was almost pulling the trigger on buying the system just to play. So to me, that speaks volumes. Like, I was willing to just do that just to play the game, right? Granted, I could have probably done something PC related, but that's neither here nor there. Obviously, anything that's going to be, you know, again, with Bethesda in that realm of like the Elder Scrolls, even though they have not been before, it was basically out there that said, oh, this is going to be an exclusive. Well, that was a hard pill for me to swallow when I heard that, because that's one area of gaming that I have sunk a lot of my life into. So that was a tough one. Now, the only other one that comes to mind as far as games from yesteryear that I played for a consistent while would be Halo. And I really would be really curious to see how that would, you know, pour over, because I think it would just be run beautifully on the PS5 or whatever. You know, Sony system would be beyond the PS5. So I know you had some really much more fun ideas than that. So
with Halo, honestly, I could see them doing the Master Chief Collection, bringing that over right away. And then that's Halo 1, 2, 3, ODST. I believe Reach was actually included with that eventually. And then 4 came out and was added to it. And then you have Halo 5 Guardians and then Halo Infinite. I could see all of that coming over in one massive bundle. Another one, Gears of War. There's Gears 1 through 5, and then there's Gears of War Judgment. Those could all come over. Fusion Frenzy, which is a little-known original Xbox launch title, we actually played that game. I don't even know if you remember it, but there was a Memorial Day weekend where we spent pretty much the whole fucking day.
Yeah, I'm Googling that right now because I remember the crap out of that game.
There was Fusion Frenzy, and Fusion Frenzy 2 came out on the 360, but it wasn't nearly as well received as the original. But one that I had said, and you kind of perked up, was Crackdown.
Yes.
So
yes.
If the Crackdown series ends up over there, that's a huge win. Crackdown 1 through 3. 1 was amazing. 2 was and I just got three, so I don't know. I'll give you an update.
I played one to no ends, and I thought, I remember buying that game with very little expectation, because really, I mean, back when that came out was still kind of a time when, yeah, I really wasn't doing a lot of research on games. I just thought, yeah, this looks cool, action-based, whatever. Man, I just fell in love with that game. It was so fun. It was so fresh. It was, I actually felt like I was playing a comic book, you know, with the way that game was stylized and the powers that you had and just the way the flow, like, it was so good. And I was almost shocked to find out that that was an exclusive title, because at the time, it was like, what's Microsoft really known for? I mean, again, you had Halo, and you had a couple things that were obviously hot. But really, it's like, you had Flight Simulator for a couple decades at that point. That's about all you had. So this was like a fresh thing. It's like, who in the world produced this for you guys? Like, I was just blown away. You know, it was that good.
And if you remember, part of the reason that that game sold as well as it did in the first place was because it came with the Halo 3 beta.
That's right. That's right.
So you had to buy Crackdown to get the Halo 3 beta. I believe it even launched at less than retail. So I think that it originally sold for $30 or $40.
Yeah, I remember getting it. Now, I want to say it was $30.
Yeah.
Yeah, because let me look at that real quick. So I'm curious, because the release date, because that was a 360 game, wasn't it?
Yes,
that came out. Yeah, it's funny, that came out basically when I just started my teaching career, and so I was probably looking to blow off some steam and needed a cheap game.
Dude, I'm
serious. It
was amazing. I love that game so much. I was so excited when the second one came out, and then I was so let down when I played it. Like, I think I got almost to the end, and I couldn't beat the last boss or something like that of Crackdown 2. But it just was, overall, it wasn't as fun.
Right.
They changed up the story, you know. I don't know. It just wasn't as fun. But the twist ending of the first one was really good too.
Yes, it was. It was really, really good. Yeah. I'm trying to think around the same time. Let me see if this makes sense. Again, I'm kind of going off topic here a little bit. It was right around the same time. Right around the same time, because I remember also having it for the Xbox. It was the year before, or a few months before anyway, that was released, was Saints Row.
Yes.
And I remember playing that again, same thing, limited expectation, knowing that it was somewhat of a GTA clone, basically. But again, I had nothing for it going into it. It's like, I'm just going to see what this is like. And man, almost the same feeling. I was blown away. I was like, it's awesome. Like, so fun.
Saints Row, Dead Rising came out around that same time. There was a lot of good Xbox games that came out around that time. But I mean, Saints Row and Saints Row was multi-platform from the jump, I believe. But I think Dead Rising initially, it was like a timed exclusive.
I don't remember. I remember having, well, no, you know what? The original Saints Row, according to Wikipedia, was an Xbox exclusive.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, because it was after that. It was like Saints Row 2 was multi-platform, right?
Yeah, I think so. Let's see here. We're doing a little research here. Yeah. Saints Row 2 was multi-platform. That was released a couple years later. I do want to look up Dead Rising, because I had that as well for the Xbox and thought the same thing. Yeah, that one was one that, yeah, that's hard to tell because it was released like many times afterward.
Yeah.
Because I actually own the classic packs or whatever that were sold on the PlayStation. So I think it's the first and second game, maybe.
Yeah.
But I remember having so much fun playing on the Xbox.
Oh, yeah, dude. So now we've got four games that are rare titles that could come over, being Conquer, Which I don't know if you could do a proper Conquer game anymore. Maybe you could, but
I doubt it. You still make
auto, so I would assume you'd still make a good Conquer game.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Banjo-Kazooie, Battletoads, Perfect Dark, and one that you mentioned, it's not a Rare game, but it's a Microsoft game, is Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Yeah, and you had made this comment to me off pod right before we started recording about how that's actually on the Xbox now, and I was kind of blown away because I was, for years and years and years, it was a PC exclusive, and that was really, to me, you know, obviously Microsoft Flight Simulator has been around a long time. That predated Halo by many, many years, and you know, that looks, I'm actually curious because I remember playing a very early version. Let's see here. That game first released. Actually, here, you know what the funny thing is? Wow. That game first released in 1982.
Holy shit.
The development began in 1977. So
been around. How the fuck? What plane actually did fly in 82?
It began as a set of articles written by Bruce Artwick in 1976 about a 3D computer graphics program. So the guy was basically like brainstorming, but putting it out publicly. And then it released in as Flight Simulator 1.0 in November of 1982. That was a PC game. I remember playing, yeah, it's probably Flight Simulator 3 or 4, which was really released in the late 80s. Coincidentally, that's really strange. The Microsoft Flight Simulator 3.0 cover is basically two buildings that look like the World Trade Center and a plane flying out from them. Just kind of odd, actually.
Jesus, that's weird.
Yeah, anyway, but no, that game's been around as long as we've been around, basically. And so I've always known that to be a straight PC game. So it was really neat to learn that, you know, it'd been kind of ported over to the Xbox, which is cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Let's see here. Curious to see, though. Was that just the latest, like the latest ones, or?
Yeah, it was, it might have been 22 or 23. Let me see.
2020. Yeah, so the 2021, that was Xbox. Because prior to that was the Steam edition of Flight Simulator X.
Oh,
which was, yeah, there was some goofiness there.
Oh, dude, you should see the flight stick you can buy. It's a Jesus, $380.
And yeah, no,
it actually has, wow. It's like a 707 to 747 style control. That's interesting.
Here, can you throw that in chat? I'm check this sucker out.
Yeah, let me copy it. So it's,
I mean, that's that, it sounds cool, but not $400 cool.
No. It's definitely not something that I'm actually going to buy, but like, it's cool to think that, wow, they actually have this. And
wow, that's crazy looking.
Yeah. Like the only thing that I'm seeing that it doesn't have that you would really have is it doesn't have the thrust reversers. It doesn't have a thrust reverser control. But it's really cool.
Can I play that with, what's that game? Afterburn.
You should be able to. Why not? You know, that would make it, that would make it worth it. Holy shit, you can, whoa. You can actually bot, dude. We should never go down this fucking rabbit hole.
Uh-oh.
Hold on. I'm going to send you this one. This is, it's a full fucking flight, like a cockpit display with every fucking like dial you can have and every, I can't think of words tonight. It's basically a cockpit. It's a cockpit panel.
What the heck?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's got the landing gear on it. It's got everything on it.
That's like, actually not
oil pressure.
That's funny. That's not a bad price.
No. No, but I think that's just the.
That's just the panel kit. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to buy the rest.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen people build out the using like the big monitors for racing simulators and stuff. And that stuff's always been very interesting to me. You know, because it looks really cool, especially now because everything looks so real.
Right.
You know, you don't have to spend the, you know, tens of thousands of dollars. You know, you spend some money still, but
right.
If you're really into that, like you could do it for a fraction of what it used to be. And I don't know, it's cool. It's not for me, but
that's fucking insane.
But now to go back to the original point, though, I mean, it's really interesting to kind of think about and maybe potentially see some of these franchises head over, you know, that could go multi-platform. But I would be curious to see, like, you know, obviously, like a console like the Switch, where they're going to keep releasing software for it, but the Switch tends to get like interesting things that have, you know, been out for quite some time. You saw that with Diablo 2 remastered, when a game that's really, you know, almost darn near 30 years old. And I would think that how interesting to see with, like, oh yeah, you can play Halo 1 on your Switch legally. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Dude, that would be a little bit bonkers. I'm kind of here for it. Like, if I can play Halo, look, let me play Reach and ODST are by far my favorite Halo games. Let me play them on my Switch, and I'm happy.
Yeah, no, I'm it's interesting. I'm curious to see. We'll definitely revisit so after some of these announcements, but I don't know. It's interesting times. We'll say that.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess we'll find out more next week.
Stay tuned.
That's called a teaser, kids.